And maybe you also don't even realize how much effort and how much work and how much time goes into creating this medicine. Yeah, here you see you can resist the medicine, but you will never win this fight. He only could see that he destroyed my whole garden. And then some team members of mine wanted to help him out of the ceremony room, but we discovered he was completely naked. And then he went back into the ceremony room, and the moment he entered the room, the woman who had this traumatic experience of giving birth to her son and re-experiencing that, it was, he went in and she was vomiting and vomiting. And the reason why you vomit in ayahuasca ceremonies, by the way, you don't vomit with the shoko bliss, which also contains the spirit of Mother Ayahuasca. But with ayahuasca, it's quite common to vomit, and she had to vomit to finally get this trauma out of her system. And for her, it was like, ah, finally, this is healed, this is out. And while I'm sharing this, another story comes to my mind. This is actually my favorite one. When he entered the ceremony, the group, there was the girl from Oman who said, hey, I just saw you in my dreams and now I see you in real life, so welcome here, thank you for coming over. And he was like, okay. And it turned out in ceremony that they had a very strong soul connection. You are in the retreat and you don't know what ayahuasca is and you have no clue what this is about. I immediately called her and he said, oh yeah, I had this amazing journey. And you know what? I know the name of our daughter and it is this.
Welcome to the House of Oneness podcast, where we dig deep into the world of plant medicine to help you in your spiritual and personal growth. Our host of this podcast has traveled the world to learn from different shamans, maestros, and other spiritual leaders. She has many years of experience with plant medicine ceremonies. Here is your host, Maria Joanna.
Welcome to this new episode. And in this episode, I'm going to talk about, crazy experience during guiding ayahuasca ceremonies. I've been guiding so many ceremonies, so I can share a lot. But before I start, I like to ask you to subscribe to my YouTube channel, push the button of notifications so you will never miss a video. And of course, feel free to share this on social media because we are on a mission of sharing the word of plant medicine and spiritual awakening. Let's start with this topic. So I've been guiding ayahuasca ceremonies for many years and in different settings, in different countries, I've received so many people in ceremony. And then I can tell you it's an intense life because everyone goes inside, they make themselves very vulnerable. They go through a lot of emotions and ayahuasca ceremony can go, in all different kind of directions. And I've also been guiding other type of plant medicine ceremonies, but let's focus on ayahuasca. And what comes to my mind at first is, when I cooked the medicine a bit stronger than normal, as a shaman, sometimes I say like I'm an urban shaman because, I mean, I grew up in the Netherlands, not in the jungle, so I can never call myself a real shaman, but a shaman means that you work with plant medicine, that you work with nature in order to get healing for others. And it took me a long time to develop my own ayahuasca. It's not something you do in a month. It costs a few months. And as, let's say, an urban shaman, you're always improving ceremonies. And also when you do more inner work yourself, you are upgrading your skills as a facilitator, as a shaman, as a guide. And what I saw on my path is when I grew from inside, I also upgraded my medicine and I was changing. So here I've done a dieta and then I got the message from the plant to also change my medicine a little bit. And you cook, I mean, the way I cooked my medicine was always also on vision, like the color on smell. You use all your senses, your intuition. And it's good, from my perspective, when it smells a little bit sweet. I mean, the taste of ayahuasca will always stay bitter. But when you cook it, like you cook it several times. If you cook the medicine, the way I did it, I cooked very, very slow. And I cooked one time, two times, three times. And then I cooked all this together. And that's the most important part of cooking the medicine. And maybe you also don't even realize how much effort and how much work and how much time goes into creating this medicine. What I can tell, to me, it took a long time, so 3 days. And then in this last cook, I love it when it's, yeah, becomes a bit more thick. So it's more, yeah, you have to drink less. It's more thick and better concentrated. And this time in this ceremony, I cooked it maybe a little bit stronger than I thought. And of course, like you feel so responsible and you want people to have the best experience. And yeah, I served the medicine and very, very soon the medicine started to work. And I would say within 5 minutes, a guy from France, a guy from Paris started to say, "Get me out, get me out, get me out." And I thought, oh no. And people started to purge very, very soon in this ceremony. And I mean, yeah, what is crazy? It's just that this ceremony was very, very strong and he wanted to get out of the medicine. And that's not really a way of getting out of the ayahuasca trip. You can order the drops of rescue online and that you can put it under your tongue and then the effect will decrease. But it's not really something like step it out. Maybe you can use salt, you can use lemon, you can take a cold shower. But if you are in a journey, you have to finish it. And I also want to say in the end, all these journeys from the people who were very intense has been so life-changing and so good because you always get what you need. But as a guide, I thought, oh my God, like this person was the first who wanted to get out of his journey. And he was making so much noise. He was screaming so loud that we had to take him out of the ceremony room. So I also lost one of my team members. And he was all the time speaking in his own language in France. And luckily, my guide was also speaking this language. So he was all the time one-on-one with this person to make sure, like, that he was protected. And to comfort him on like, you cannot get out, but the only way is to surrender and to go through this. And yeah, in the end, it was a good experience. So, but the moment he was quiet, the next person, a girl from the UK, started to scream and she also wanted to go out of the medicine, which is impossible. And actually, I would say, I was so lucky that it was one by one by one, because imagine if all three at the same time, we're screaming, I want to get out, I want to get out. So then this girl starts to scream, I want to get out, I want to get out, why? Get me out. And then another guide of mine, she just was holding her. We let her go outside the ceremony room because it was disturbing the other people. And she was all the time, and it was more than an hour, the other guy too, with her, holding her, and waiting until she became quiet. Luckily, that happened. And yeah, here you see, you can resist the medicine, but you will never win this fight. And she was quiet, but then the most intense thing happened. It was a very quiet young guy. I know him already from before. I met him because he's a friend of a friend of mine. And then, of course, you feel more connected with this person and you really, really want to make sure that he has a good experience. But he started to move around. And we thought, oh, this is disturbing also for the others. And he started to speak really loud. And this was too disturbing for the ceremony. So we let him out of the ceremony room. And that's very exceptional, because when you do an ayahuasca ceremony, you start together and you end together, and you open the ceremony together and you close the ceremony together. And this has to do with the energy. But yeah, we had to take him out, and then it got worse. When we took him out, and also it started already in the ceremony room, he started to be very aggressive. Very, very aggressive. And he was grabbing my female assistant by her tits, like, and then he also grabbed a male guide by his balls. It was just like, oh my God. We let him be in the garden outside, and he destroyed basically my whole garden. He took all the plants out. He was just all the time moving. We had to sit on top of him. And this is very exceptional. And to me, it was also interesting, because this ceremony was a ceremony where I already decided to stop my ayahuasca ceremonies. But it was so painful in my heart that in a way I thought, okay, this is one of my last ceremonies, and now I have to experience this to maybe help me also to stop, to make the decision like, okay, let's stop my ceremonies. But as a guide, no matter how crazy it is, because other things that happen in ceremonies is that people poo in their pants and you have to put them under the shower. And yeah, that's not even that crazy. It didn't happen a lot, to be honest, but it happened in my ceremonies. I will tell another story kind of like that. But first, let's finish this one. And so he was very, very aggressive. And that's kind of hard when you cannot control, yeah, this trip, of course. And he was really going wild. And we needed two guides to be there. Luckily, we were with four, or maybe even with five. And yeah, that was unrestless, this ceremony, because I was used to have very peaceful ceremonies. That was when I started to guide my own ceremonies, to work with my own medicine. It was so exceptional how peaceful my ceremonies were. So this was so different. But in the end, he came back. This took a long time. I don't know, maybe 2 hours. And in the end, he said he did not remember anything of it. Also, the other participants who went wild, they didn't remember what happened. So that's a beautiful thing also for themselves. But he only could see that he destroyed my whole garden. It was a big, like, big garden. And my grass was out, the plants were out, everywhere there were flowers or pieces of plants. But yeah, luckily he didn't hurt himself. He hurt my team a little bit, but okay. And then we were kind of cool. Everyone was back in ceremony room. Everyone was quiet. I thought, oh, thank God. And then one participant asked if he could smoke a cigarette. And normally we don't do smoking right after ceremony, because also cigarettes, they contain a spirit, but not a spirit like pure. It's actually a dirty spirit of cigarettes, and we don't want to mix this in ceremonies. But somehow it happened that he smoked a cigarette. I actually don't really remember how it went. And when he went out, and it was on a very hot summer night, he fell on the ground and he had some blood in his head. And to me and to our team, it was just like so exceptional that one person was going crazy, the other person was going crazy, another person was going wild and aggressive, and then this person fell with his head and he was bleeding. We were so happy when this ceremony was done. And I learned also, like, okay, I would say I cooked the medicine a little bit too strong, or stronger than normal, because I changed and you always develop the medicine. But then I came up with another example, which is more interesting maybe, because everything that happens in ceremony is for a reason. And you see this, like, sometimes in ceremony, we as a team also were many times representing, for example, family members of participants. Then I became someone's ex-wife, or I became someone's mother, or I became someone's father, could even be like that. But most times I was representing a female person in their lives. And in this ceremony that I want to talk about, someone was representing a baby, but it was like this. This was, by the way, my very first ceremony in my new location. So it was my very first ceremony in my new location in this ayahuasca villa. And then there was a guy, I thought he was from Italy, not sure anymore. And also a woman from the Netherlands. This guy from Italy started to all the time sit up, make a lot of noise, and then boom, he went down. And all the time he was sitting up, making a lot of noise, and boom, he said he was falling, yeah, at his back. It seemed to be a little bit unsafe. And then we thought, this is disturbing for the rest of the group. And if something is disturbing, then we take him out for a little while from the ceremony room. And then when he is quiet, we take him back for the rest of the group. So we thought, this is too disturbing. And then some team members of mine wanted to help him out of the ceremony room, but we discovered he was completely naked. So my female team members didn't dare to help him out of the ceremony room. Luckily, I had two men. So these two men were helping him, and they put him, like, they carried him both together. So he was in the middle, and then another guide. Two guides were helping him out of the ceremony. And then this Dutch woman, she had experienced, like, she was re-experiencing giving birth to her son. And this has been very traumatic for her, because she was giving birth to her son. And then they, when her son was born, they took her son away from her. And she was laying in the hospital for her, feeling like for days, but it was, yeah, maybe more than an hour in real time. But for her, it's like, wow, I just gave birth to my son. I want him here. I want him here. And her husband also went away. So she was laying there in the hospital by herself. She just gave birth to her son and it was gone. And in this ayahuasca ceremony, this traumatic experience came back and she was re-experiencing this. And then in her experience, this naked man that everyone could see, it was just taking away, he was out of the ceremony room, and she was like, there goes my baby. Then she had other things in her journey, and upstairs, these guys were just helping him. They also tried to give him some citrus to make the ayahuasca work less. They were just being there in order that he would be safe and not hurt himself, because he was also moving a lot. That was okay. It took a while. And that is also something, you know, as a guide, it's always worth it. It's always happening for a reason. And you just want to have protection, safety, and make sure someone is okay, of course. And a ceremony, yes, it can be intense. Yes, you can go through crazy stuff. But in this case, it was so funny because the Italian guy later on, or he was from Romania, I guess. I still remember his face, I remember his look, but I guess he was from Romania. Then, in the end, he had a fantastic experience. He was like having so much fun. So from the outer world, it seems to be like a crazy trip, that he was not okay, and that was also what other people would think. If we would kept him in the ceremony room, he would be so disturbing and people would maybe worry about him. But he had a very, very, like, amazing experience. But it took a while before he was quiet and not making noise anymore. So then he went back into the ceremony room. And the moment he entered the room, the woman who had this traumatic experience of giving birth to her son and re-experiencing that, it was He went in and she was vomiting and vomiting. And the reason why you vomit in ayahuasca ceremonies, by the way, you don't vomit with the Shoko Bliss, which also contains the spirit of Mother Ayahuasca. But with ayahuasca, it's quite common to vomit. And she had to vomit to finally get this trauma out of her system. And for her, it was like, finally, this is healed. This is out. And those things are really amazing to witness and to experience. And while I'm sharing this, another story comes to my mind. And this is the last story I'm going to share in this podcast about what can happen in ceremony. And this is actually my favorite one, my favorite story, because one reason is that it was an old friend of mine in the ceremony. And also because there was a woman in the ceremony from Oman. And she's really in my heart. And then there was another woman from UK with her partner. And they came several times. And I also really put those participants in my heart. I remember them very clearly. Because I've been guiding so many people. I cannot remember everyone. I always think I do, but that's not really true. But let's talk about the ceremony. This was actually all my ceremonies are always at least 2 days or 3 days when I was working with ayahuasca. Because when you do an ayahuasca ceremony, the first one is not always the one. But if you have two, big chance that you have the one in your second. And when you do three ceremonies, the third is always the very, very best. Okay, back to the ceremony. We had a first day, but my friend wanted to join ayahuasca ceremony and he couldn't be there at that particular day. So he said, I do only one day, but because I really wanted him to experience this, I said, okay, let's just do one ceremony and you come at the second ayahuasca ceremony. I'm not sure if you also had combo there, but he came at the last day. And when he entered the ceremony, the group, there was the girl from Oman who said, hey, I just saw you in my dreams and now I see you in real life. So welcome here. Thank you for coming over. And he was like, okay. And it turned out in ceremony that they had a very strong soul connection. And it was also so special because this woman came from Oman and she was not allowed to travel by herself as a woman. So she was so nervous, like, I want to do this. She saw me on YouTube and thought, like, yeah, I want to go to this woman of experiencing this ayahuasca ceremonies. And then she had to travel with a man together. So she asked her cousin and she said, I want to go to Amsterdam. And she printed out a whole package of information about ayahuasca because she thought he will never join or I have to convince him. So she said, yeah, I want to go to Amsterdam, but do you want to travel with me? And he said, sure. He said, okay. She said, yeah, I'm going to Amsterdam, but I'm actually going to do an ayahuasca ceremony. Do you want to join? Sure, he said. Yeah, it's not one ceremony. It's actually several ceremonies. So do you still want to join? Sure. And that was so special because he had actually no clue what to do, what this was about. He had no clue what ayahuasca was. And in this group, there were so many participants who had no clue what ayahuasca was, but they were in the retreat. I was like, huh, you are in the retreat and you don't know what ayahuasca is and you have no clue what this is about. But this is something big, you know, for most people it's life changing. Okay. So they were in ceremony, my friend was in ceremony, and I want to talk about this couple from the UK because they were so connected in ceremony. And when we started this, it was the second day of this retreat, the second ceremony, second ayahuasca ceremony. Very soon, I had a line, like a connection with my old classmate, who is my friend, and everything he thought I received and the other way around. And he started to see things before it started to happen. So there was a point that he said, hey, Maria, this woman is going to get birth. She's going to give birth. And it's like, okay. And in real life, his wife was pregnant and she could also give birth. So he was also excited. And he already said, like, just in case, take the number of my wife because maybe I'm going to be a father tonight. Yeah, in ceremony it happened, not in real life. So before this woman was giving birth, and this happens sometimes in ceremonies, that if you have a miscarriage or if you've done abortion, then you have to give birth in ceremony. And this woman did an abortion, but she never told her husband, her new husband, because it was from the ex-partner and from her past. So my friend said, Maria, watch out, she's going to give birth. So just a minute later, yes, she was like, making the sound of giving birth to a child. So I was there, sitting there. And then for my friend, she became his wife. His wife. And I received his child from my friend on earth. And it was just so special. But he knew it's not just one child, it's two. So while she was giving birth, she was screaming and she said all the time, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I never told you. And she was also screaming, get it out, get it out. And she felt so guilty for her partner that she never told about this abortion. And her partner was, of course, so like focused on her instead of himself because it was so intense. And it was very special, and it was more special because in my friend's ceremony, he saw all this happening, but also he made contact with his future child that was about to come. And this child was communicating to him. This child said, she said, like, I want to have this name. So she was giving her name to him. And this name was also connected to the color green and also to a certain stone with a certain power, the smaragd in Dutch. I don't know how you call this in English. But the funny thing was that my friend was living on the street of this stone, the smaragd. That was the street that he was living. And her name is also the meaning of this stone. So everything was connected. But he was just like so connected with his future child. And he experienced as if his child was already on earth and I brought it to him. That was really, really special. And the next morning, and I go a little bit forward in time and then we'll come back. But the next morning, he was all the time like, I want to call my wife. I want to call my wife. But it was too early to call her. But then she suddenly sent a message very early in the morning. Hey, you know what? Actually, I don't agree on the name that we have for our daughter. I don't know what it is, but I just changed my mind. And he was like, what? Oh, like he immediately called her and he said, oh yeah, I had this amazing journey. And you know what? I know the name of our daughter and it is this. And she was immediately like, yes. So those things can happen. It's I also shared this in other podcasts that it can happen that a soul comes to you. It also happened many times in Shoko Bliss ceremonies. We just had a message today. And also last week from people who received the message to, yeah, that there's a soul around who wants to come to Earth and that they can get ready to get pregnant. So beautiful, the ayahuasca babies, the Shoko Bliss babies. It's fantastic. So this time too. And then there was also something else that my friend went back to past lives, and he was there traveling with this woman from Oman, and he was seeing as he was in a mosque and he was in an Arabic world. And then the facilitator, my assistant in the ceremony, she was walking and suddenly she was on the ground and she was laying down as if she was praying in a mosque. She didn't understand anything at all, but the energy is working through you and also through her. So she was just experiencing as she was in a mosque, but she didn't understand it. But my friend was like, yes, I am in this mosque now and she's praying with me. So those things can happen. And he received a lot of information for this woman from Oman. And that was just really amazing to witness. And this happens often, that people send each other love, that people support each other in ceremony. And that's the magic, because actually we are all one and everything happens for a reason. Every group comes together for a reason. And sometimes there's just one general topic that everyone is working on. For example, healing the relationship with their parents, or there's everywhere something with death or losing or letting go. And that's so amazing when you're guiding and you're witnessing this healing process and you see why people come together in one ceremony. And especially this is one that I will never forget. If you feel the calling of doing an ayahuasca ceremony, but you're not able to travel to Peru or other countries, and you wonder like, how can I still be in touch with Mother Ayahuasca? I have a solution, because I have my own plant medicine ceremonies with Shoko Bliss. And I also teach people to work with Shoko Bliss themselves at home. And this medicine contains the spirit of Mother Ayahuasca. There's no DMT in there, because the DMT is in the opium list in most countries is illegal. But the Mayu inhibitor, which contains the spirit of Mother Ayahuasca, this is a legal substance. And I put this into my Shoko Bliss medicine. And you can order this on my website, houseofoneness.com. If you order this on my website, you also receive a video series of 26 videos where I teach you about Shoko Bliss step by step, and also how to become actually your own shaman. Because I feel like we are growing into a world where we have to be independent. We have to go inside to heal ourselves, to grow, to change our frequency. And yeah, Shoko Bliss is an amazing tool for you to be able to create your own home ceremony. And if you order this, you get this, the online training is called How to Create Your Own Home Ceremony in 8 Steps. So if you feel curious about this, read more on houseofoneness.com. And I love to see you in my other podcasts.
Thanks for listening. Check out our website, houseofoneness.com, for more information about plant medicine, microdosing, and ceremonies. Or find Maria Joanna at Instagram. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, keep following that inner voice. Welcome to the House of Oneness podcast, where we dig deep into the world of plant medicine to help you in your spiritual and personal growth. Our host of this podcast has traveled the world to learn from different shamans, maestros, and other spiritual leaders. She has many years of experience with plant medicine ceremonies. Here is your host, Maria Joanna. Thanks for listening. Check out our website, houseofoneness.com, for more information about plant medicine, microdosing, and ceremonies. Or find Maria Joanna at Instagram. Check back weekly for new episodes. Until next time, keep following that inner voice.